Nampak has moved into the red, reporting an interim loss per share of 408 cents after having written down its Nigerian and Angolan businesses by 3 billion rand. The company has been battling weak economic conditions in its key markets, with its Nigerian and Angolan units hardest hit by falling oil prices and the impact of COVID-19. Joining me now is CEO Eric Smuts. Eric, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So Nampak has written down its businesses by close to 4 times its market cap, and this, of course, as I say, as COVID-19 and depressed oil prices hit and batters the outlook for your operations in both Angola and Nigeria. Is all of the risk priced in with this?
I think it's very difficult at this point in time to make a call on that. I think we've been quite conservative on taking quite an aggressive look at the value of these investments. As you know, we've got very significant investments in both Angola and Nigeria. At the same time, these investments are highly dependent on dollar liquidity in those countries. Both these countries are highly dependent on oil. Nigeria probably less so than Angola. But as a result, we took a hard view at these investments. We considered the potential impact of short-term liquidity constraints in these economies and the rate at which it will come out of COVID-19 and what would be the normal or the new normal after this. As a result, we took a view to say, let's impair it. If the position improves on the asset side in Angola, you know, we can consider then reversing it. Of course, the goodwill impairment we did in Nigeria, that's not something you can reverse.
Yeah.
But neither of these, of course, are cash impacted transactions. It's essentially writing down the goodwill in Nigeria and the asset value in Angola.
Eric, how do you further mitigate against risk that potentially sits on the horizon in those territories? Have you had to shift your strategy and the way you do business there quite significantly?
Yes, we had. So there's two things we could do. First of all, in Angola specifically, we significantly reduced the number of staff we have in the business. So sadly, we had to let go of more than 50% of the individuals that are manning our lines. So that's at least reduced our fixed cost base significantly. The other one is we had to look at how we're going to fund the business. Where we looked at during periods of liquidity constraints, we funded these businesses by buying raw materials offshore and then funding it from our offshore balance sheet. I think we've been through this before. We now realize that is not necessarily a sustainable position, especially with the combination of COVID-19 on this. It's very unclear when things will normalize. And as a result, we've taken a decision that we will only buy raw materials and allow the business to trade at the level that we can get Forex. So there's a number of places where we can get Forex from. Obviously, the normal banks. We will also look to get assistance from our customer base, because essentially our customers are importing their raw materials, or more specifically, their packaging indirectly through us. So we will look at them to assist us. And then, of course, we will look at any other measures to get access to foreign exchange. But essentially, we will let the business trade at the level to which it can sustain itself through access to liquidity.
Eric, I've got to ask, are those operations at jeopardy in their entirety?
No, I don't think so at all. So, first of all, our business in Nigeria, in fact, both these businesses are very efficient operations. They are quite flexible. So we do have the ability to scale back manning levels to the extent that we have demand. You know, these big machines do not like stop starting, but you can stop them without any significant impact for periods of time. So at this point in time, we will probably only run them for the number of days required in a specific month. But they are quite flexible from that point of view. These are very good assets long-term, and certainly something we want to hold on to make sure that when the Africa's prospect turns, that we can leverage off that.
Okay, added to those pressures that you're experiencing on those ends for now, you've got profits taking strain locally as well, where, of course, in South Africa, there's been a ban on the trade of alcohol through lockdown. It's diminished demand for your product here. How hard has the local atmosphere or trading environment potentially hit the business?
Certainly, the lockdown has been very tough on all business in South Africa, and we're certainly no different. At least as a provider of essential products or services, we've probably been not as hard hit as many other products where we were still allowed to run our factories. I think the issues, you know, there's a difference between legally being allowed to run and whether there's demand. And so we have not been hit hard from a legal point of view. I think it's only the ban on alcohol products that really affected us as hard. The bigger impact is the lack of consumer demand out there. Mm. You know, a lot of our products, especially in our beverage can divisions, are linked to what's called immediate consumption packaging. It's not bulk packs like a 2-liter PET, etc. So the demand for smaller packs, the immediate consumption packs, has been severely hit and reduced significantly. And as a result, overall trading for us during this period, even despite being allowed to run, you know, we were operating at less than 50% of our normal capacity.
Yeah, and it speaks to then, of course, more than just a COVID-19 related story, Eric, because especially, you know, if taking into consideration what you've said, but also the fact that this is for the period to the end of March, where lockdown in South Africa hadn't really taken effect yet. So what's your plan moving forward in terms of being able to turn this business around?
You're absolutely right. I think COVID-19 had very little effect on our half-year results. It was literally only the last week. So going forward, it's really looking to see how do we make sure that we align the business and the cost structures we have with available demand. A big focus is on simplifying the business, making sure that we take out layers of cost that are associated with complexity. The deeper we look into that, the more we find there's a lot of opportunity for that, and certainly a lot of optimization that we can still get into to make sure that we unlock further value.
Does that speak to potential job losses?
Unfortunately, it always does. In the end, you know, we are a business for the sake of business, and we have jobs to sustain the level of business that is competitive. So if we hold on to too many jobs, all we will do is we will keep ourselves uncompetitive, and that will just compromise the job security of everybody else. So sadly, it will probably result in further job losses. We are already in the process of big restructurings in parts of our business. But sadly, unless the economy turns quickly, there is likelihood that we will have to cut even deeper.
Let's leave it there. Eric, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, the CEO of Nampak, Eric Smuts.